eternity. I love seeing these kids run around, and I've got a couple in my house, and they teach us a lot about life. My son, I just got him a little, like a NASCAR, a little Hot Wheels, and you'd figure you'd run out of stuff to do with that after like the first half an hour, but kid's been playing with that thing for like 4 hours over the weekend, and I just thought, man, sometimes stuff happens, and it just kind of sweeps us away, and you get lost in stuff, and I love that. And in fact, I know where he gets it, because when I was in high school, I was with a friend, and we heard the sound of an ice cream truck. Pretty good sound when you're a kid, and ran over there to take a look. And we actually didn't get any ice cream because, believe it or not, this time he had a pack of dart guns with colored missiles and different little targets. And I thought, man, this is all right. Let's do this instead. And so me and my best friend, we bought those and took it to his house, set those things up, and just kind of started playing with it and enjoying the gun and just having a good time. But, of course, it didn't end there where and now we had to take these little figures and kind of set it up on the bookshelf and see who could get the best shot off and from, like, a trick shot and trying all different kinds of things. And then it kind of, that wasn't enough either, so we had to kind of run through the hallway and jump on, like, the couch and try and shoot it too. And we broke a couple plates in the process, and his mom came home, and we really didn't have a good excuse for that. Just kind of, sometimes you have a good time, and you end up places you didn't think you'd get, and things kind of sweep you off your feet. I don't know about you, but I've gone through experiences like that all over the place in my life. I remember first meeting my wife, and when I said I do, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And that's a good thing, because I just thought she was a pretty girl that loved Jesus, but I didn't know she had the capacity for ministry that she does. I didn't know that she was going to be such a phenomenal mom. I just thought, you know, hey, this is probably what I ought to do, but man, did I have any idea? And you know, there's a lot of things in life like that, and specifically the verse that I wanted to talk to you about today. I had memorized this when I was in youth group in high school, the Great Commission. It was a youth group event. The youth pastor wanted us to memorize scripture. At the time, you know, we weren't getting like candy or anything, so I wasn't sure why I was going to do it except for all the pretty girls were memorizing scripture, so we just kind of figured, hey, this is kind of what we ought to be doing. And so, I'll be honest with you, I did not know what I was getting myself into when I memorized those words. The Great Commission is a pretty popular text. In fact, it's your mission statement and Go Church as well. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded of you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And so those words were just kind of something that I would repeat in my head and over again until it was something that I remembered in high school. And I had no idea that what I was letting into my heart would change my life forever. It swept me away. It changed everything about who I am. And so if you'd be up for it, I'd like to tell you how it changed my life and how maybe it could change yours as well. Now I'll tell you what, verse 18 is actually the one that we often kind of like to leave out. A lot of times when you might hear it here, you're going to hear, and at Go Church, we do the same thing. We hear 19 and 20. Go make disciples of all nations. But that verse 18, that verse right before that, that's very, very important. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore. So why is that? What's the therefore? What's the point? What's the reason for this? And so for me, as a high school kid that went to Bible college, wound up in ministry, I had to really process this verse. Because I think for a long time I did. I skipped right to 19. And so what is Jesus having all authority have anything to do with this? Well, for me, I think it was really easy. Actually, this is kind of crazy that it was easy for me to let Jesus, as much as I knew him, as much as I didn't know him, to let him have all authority in the world. Patrick talked about kind of the world that we see, and for me to have Jesus be an authority over the government, over the world I live in, I didn't have a problem with that because I didn't have the best example otherwise. But okay, I can get on board for Jesus having all authority over all things. That's okay with me. I think we're going to be better off, and he seems to be pretty loving, and this should be a good thing. So yeah, I get this all authority over heaven and earth. I believe that he has it. I believe that makes sense, and so I got on board. It didn't take long, but that's for having all authority over heaven and earth. But what has taken me a while is for him to have all authority over me. For me to let him have control of my life and tell me what to do and what not to do. All authority means that when he says something, that I'm supposed to do it. The difference between a student and a disciple As a student, as you might know, you go to class and you might get an A in the class and have a good time and you learn something, but you don't have to take that information and make it the law of your life. If you're a disciple, if you choose to follow under the feet of a rabbi, when they say something, you have to listen. You're choosing to make that an authority in your life. And so we're disciples of Jesus, or at least I think a lot of us are in this room, and what does it mean to let him have all authority in your life? So, like, when he says stuff to you, when he says stuff to me, that means I'm supposed to do it. Because honestly, for a while, I just kind of took this great commission and just kind of made it like a seldom idea, like some kind of suggestion that I should consider every once in a while. Now, I know that it was important. I mean, considering Jesus, his last words before he ascended into heaven was for us to take this seriously, that we should do something with our life. And yet, I spent a lot of my years in college after that where I just kind of said, well, some days I'm up for it and some days I'm not. And I kind of had to look myself in the mirror and say, if I'm not willing to be obedient to what he's called me to do, then I don't know that I'm allowed to say he's the Lord of my life. Because if he's Lord, then that means I do what he asked me to do, and yet I find myself sitting here not doing what he's asking me to do. It'd almost be better off if I just said I wasn't letting him be Lord, because I wasn't acting like it. Francis Chan had a pretty cool illustration where he talks about his kid, and I can relate with this. His daughter was in a room, and he walked in and said, hey, would you mind cleaning up your room? It's getting pretty messy in here. She said, okay. And so he walked away, and time went by, and she came back out an hour or so later and said, so how'd it go? And she's like, well, you know, I thought about it quite a bit, actually. I invited some friends over, kind of sat together, and we talked about what you said. We really thought about it, considered it, dug a little deeper into the meaning. In fact, we kind of studied the original language of what you were asking us to do, and we had this great study, and it was so meaningful. And he says, well, I mean, did you clean your room, though? Oh, no, didn't touch it. Didn't do any of that. I think sometimes I treat him the same way. Man, I study the book all day, right? It's some pretty powerful stuff. I look at the original language and what it means in our life, but do I act it out? Do I really do what he's telling me to do? Because if he's Lord of my life and he has authority over all things, then it is my task, it is my job, it is my responsibility to listen to what he says to do. He's the king. So we ought to figure out what it means to listen. So I think that verse 18, that plays a big role in my life. And for me, I needed someone to tell me, this is the voice you listen to. This is the one that has all authority. If you do anything with your life as a Christian, this is what you do. Now those verses, this thing that we do, it's a lot. It's a big deal, right? So all authority has been given to us. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. Go make disciples of all nations. I mean, that's where Go Church gets our name. That we would go make disciples of all nations, that we would have this movement because we're supposed to be moving forward in this direction. And so we're figuring that out and having a great time doing that in Spring Hill. But don't get me wrong, the more I'm engaged in this mission of moving forward, the more difficult I find it. And the more I see that there are some things in me that make me so uncomfortable with the gospel. Because I noticed that you're in this series talking about the God who wants to know you, and I find myself being one of those people where I know him, but I'm just not good at sharing. I see this in my kids. Christmas time comes around, and you've got all the presents and all the wrappings all over the floor, and everyone's super excited, but notice that, at least in my house, all the paper and all the trash is all over the floor, but all the toys are, like, neatly tucked by their leg, like, sitting back over here, like, these are mine, just so you know. Like, they always kind of put them, like, right back here, and everyone's got their, kind of they stack them up and kind of put them in order of what they like. Never out in the middle of the room, though. No, that's where all the trash goes. And, you know, Merry Christmas, glad you got some cool toys, but these stay right here. These are mine. And so I know where they get it, because I've been given the greatest gift anyone could ever have, and yet I don't share that gift. Like, it's a struggle for me to do that. These statistics blow me away. This was recorded last year about Christians in America. It says this, that 61% of all American Christians, they do not share the knowledge of Jesus with anybody, not a friend, not a family, in the last 6 months. If you live in America and you're a Christian, in the last 6 months, 61% don't share Jesus with anybody. That 79% of all Christians in America, they, over the course of the last year, did not invite a single person to church at all. 98% of all Christians, during their work week, never share Jesus with anybody. 95% of all Christians in America have not led a single person to the Lord. So, what, we just don't want to share? I decided to go. I said yes to go to church. I said yes to God. And so I'm in the middle of this, and I see that it's tough. And I look around, and I realize I'm not the only one struggling with how to do this. So what happened? And I looked myself, and I say, well, there's got to be like a reason, like a motive. And I didn't like that either. Because I thought, you know, that there's better ways of doing it. And my wife's a server at a restaurant, and she brought this home the other day. I thought this was pretty interesting. It says, it's a prepaid free ticket to heaven. Pretty cool. It's got some verses here. Man is a sinner, Romans 3:23. Jesus died and paid for your sin, John 3:16. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, Jesus will be saved, Romans 10:9-13. And then on the far side, to activate, pray this prayer, record the date, and amen. And you're done, right? And this is, so what, this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, go make disciples of all nations? I mean, I honestly want to rip this up, but I could use the second service, so I'm going to hang on to it. I just don't know that that's what he had in mind. I mean, I think I get where they're coming from. You know, it's just kind of stick it in the server's book before you leave, kind of check off that spiritual to-do list that you did something you ought to do. But is this really what he wanted us to do? I sense that there's something missing. Is it fear? Like the server had exchanged words with my wife, like talked and had an interaction. But the greatest gift this person had, he was willing to do this. Like, is that? And I'm not much better. I mean, at least he put something in the book, right? And so I had to ask myself, what is that reason? What's the issue that I face? So if I'm unwilling to share the greatest gift that I've ever been given to people that are hurting and need to know the message, there's got to be a couple different reasons maybe why that's happening, and I don't like any of them. Maybe the reason why it's difficult and I don't always share my faith with people when I know I'm supposed to is because I don't think the message is all that great. That maybe I don't really believe it does save people's lives, and I don't really believe he is who he says he is. Because, I mean, that would make sense. If I don't tell people about Jesus, it's because I don't think Jesus is worth telling people about. Right? But that can't be. Can't be that. Maybe it's he wants me to tell people about Jesus, and I look at people like my neighbors and my family, and they're just not worth it. Like, I'm okay with them potentially dying and going to hell forever. It's just not a big deal. Because, I mean, why wouldn't I share? Because I don't think they're worth it. I'd rather talk to them about the game or the movie I just saw the other day. But I don't want to bring up the one gift that set me free and changed my life forever. I don't like that answer either. So what is it that I was so afraid of? Man, I did not know what I was getting myself into when I memorized that verse. He wants me to go make disciples of all nations, and sometimes I'm scared to walk out the door. And I gotta wrestle with that. I gotta figure out what he wants us to do. And believe it or not, I found some great solution, some great peace at a level in fact, the verses that come right after. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay. I got baptized when I was in high school. In fact, it was probably like the week after I memorized this passage. And I knew why I was doing it. At the time, I had no idea why they say you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy. You notice how we do that? It isn't just that you're baptized now. They add this forgiveness of sins and in the name of. And at the time, I really didn't know why that was important. It's in the text. We mention that quite a bit. And most of the time when people get baptized, we say that. That is strategic. That is there on purpose. Because I think it is so important for me. When I got baptized, man, I didn't comprehend who I was getting myself involved with. But that's okay. because he's revealing himself to me even still. And so I was taking on a new identity, right? I was a new creation in Christ. I was becoming something that was different. So yes, I needed to have a new name because I wasn't coming up out of the water as still this kind of forgettable sinner that isn't making good choices. I needed to understand that I was coming up out of that water as a new creation written in the book of life, given new purpose and meaning, and given the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's who I am a part of now. And so that gives me kind of some hope to say, you know what? I'm a part of a bigger picture. And so when I wrestle with insecurity or fear or doubt or things that might slow me down, that can make sense because I'm not very capable by myself anyway. But if I'm attached to that name, man, there's not a lot of things that name can't do. There's not a lot of things that I should really worry about at all because I'm a part of that. And so when I was baptized, when you baptize people, it is not into CCW, into your list of people that you've baptized. It's not into anything but that name that saves and set people free. And that is something that takes a long time to really comprehend. But the more and more I thought it through, the more I let it sweep me away and change my name and give me a hope, I became something I never thought I would have been. I find myself here now as a church planter standing on the stage preaching to you. When I was a kid in high school, I had no idea that this is anywhere close to what he would open up inside of me to be a part of. No way. But that new name, that new identity, I have just scratched the surface of capacity that he has because his name can do far more than mine can. But it isn't just there for the one being baptized. And so baptize them in the name of, this is for the one that's baptizing as well. This is important for us. If you've baptized people, it's important that you baptize them in that name. Because again, it's not about your name. When you baptize people, you're not baptizing them into your program of discipleship, into your remedy to life's problems, because you can't fix them and you're not supposed to. And I'll never forget for me, when I got baptized, man, I can think of some really key people that have influenced my life in some really powerful ways, but hands down, they are nothing compared to the discipleship, the intentionality I was given through the Lord Jesus Christ when I made that decision, and every day since. And so when people are baptized, you're bringing them to Jesus. Don't ever forget that's what you're doing. Bring them to him. Let him solve those problems. You might look at them and be overwhelmed and think, oh, they got a long way to go before they figure this and this out. Don't let anything hold you back from bringing them to that name, to that person. When you baptize people, bring them to him. When you disciple people, when you talk to people in your life, bring them to Jesus. Bring them into that name because that's the name that saves. That's the name that lasts. And the Spirit of God works through us to do that work. So don't miss that. Don't miss that he's the one that changes everything. He's the one that gives us hope and solution. But this text, I'm still uncovering what my identity really is in this life of Christianity that you and I share together. But man, it gets complicated from here. Because then it says, teach them to obey everything I've commanded of you. No big deal, right? Easier said than done. Should be fine. This is, Christianity is simple sometimes in its message, but supernatural in its application, right? This is the part where I'm like, okay, even so to where when I was a youth pastor here at CCW, love this verse, still love this big part of my life, helped me develop into who I am now. And so I named the youth group after this passage. And I thought, man, making disciples is huge. And again, let me study the original language and the Greek for make disciples is methuo. And I thought, okay, let's do that. And it was kind of a crazy idea. It really didn't work out so well. And so I made these shirts and these posters and all this stuff because I thought, hey, you know, like I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna teach them to obey everything I've been commanded to do, and that this is gonna work. Man, I don't know about you, but if you've tried to do this, this is difficult, right? Like to try and understand everything he's teaching you, and then go teach that to other people. Yeah, we find ourselves in this place of, okay, I've been told to make disciples. I've been told that I should go. I should go make disciples, but man, how? That is tough. That's difficult. And I wish, and listen, I'm not the smartest tool in the, or the sharpest tool in the shed, which proves why I said that. And I'm scratching my head trying to figure this thing out. And I make a commitment to go church and mine's well to you too that I'm never going to quit trying to figure this one out. I mean, I'm a long ways off. I do a lot of things that I don't know that they really do anything good, but I know what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to figure out how to do this. Why? Because he's Lord of my life. And I said, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to go wherever and however you send me to do it. But God, please forgive me because I know I mess it up a lot. And so I'm not going to stop trying to figure it out. I'm going to maybe think about what I name stuff, and I'm going to think about what I do. And so over the years, I've learned a couple things about how we do that part, how we teach them to obey everything that we've been commanded to do. One of which I learned here, sitting right where you were. Maybe not every seat because I didn't move around that much, but I was taught how to be intentional. I was taught that, you know, I've been given a lot of things. God's teach me and continues to teach me over and over and over again different things that changed my life. But how am I doing with sharing that with other people? And so Dave Pardue for many months said, you know, just be intentional with those relationships. Don't just kind of let that idly sit by. And so one of the things that he taught me, and I hope that you've continued to kind of work through, is being intentional about the relationships in your life are a big key to how this works. And so specifically because of the context that it came right after baptism, I think about how is teaching them everything and getting baptized connected? Well, in fact, they're very connected. And so anybody that you've baptized, when's the last time you caught up with them and kind of see where they're at with this whole learning everything about Jesus thing? Or maybe whoever baptized you, when's the last time you talked to them? That's a good relationship to have, an intentional relationship that could be very powerful for you. And maybe some of the terminology that has been used around here over the years too is the people that are discipling you or that you've discipled. So who in your life is pouring into you? Who is continuing to teach you all the things of Jesus? Can you name one of those people because you need those people? Be intentional about those people. If you don't have those people, before you leave, you should figure out who those people are. But maybe just as important, that who are the people that you are pouring into? Because again, he's the king and he told you, this is what I want you to do. So who are you sharing this information with? Or are you like one of my kids around the Christmas tree? Like, I want to keep this thing close, but I don't know that I'm okay with sharing. So who are you being intentional about? But maybe the thing that helped me figure out this, teach them to obey everything I have commanded of you, I think the one thing that has helped me figure that out the most, and at the same time is the most challenging part of it, is that I think that when we do it incarnationally, it works better. When we do this as people, God knew that the best way to communicate this message was not with some fancy structure to the sentence, but to wrap flesh and blood around the words. And so the God who wants to know you sent his only son to show you that it's true and it's real and you can have a part of it. And so if Jesus is the message wrapped in flesh that came to you, then maybe being strategic about people, being the message that has feet, maybe that it is, that's what we're supposed to be a part of. And so if there's any way that I've learned to teach them everything that I've commanded of you, it's to live that out. It isn't so much that would you be willing to share your faith with your friends. It's, are you willing to share your life with other people? Because this is something that you're going to do the rest of your life. And so who are the people in your life? Who are the people in your life that you need to share more of yourself with them and to walk alongside of them through the trials that they go through, the situations that they're in the middle of? Because I think the best way to communicate this gospel is to live this thing out. Now, again, that's harder said than done, because you can fake a sermon up here all day long. It just takes a couple good illustrations and be able to talk in front of people. But to be able to live this thing out, much harder to do. To be able to authentically say, this is who I am in here, and let everything that you do come out of that. When people come see you at your house, and people come see you at work, and watch you drive down 19, are you really living this stuff out? Is this who you are? It's something to consider. Because I think the best way you're going to teach the gospel, the best way you're going to do what the king asked you to do, the king told you to do, is to live this out here. So I want you to consider what that looks like, and we're going to do a couple things kind of as we're wrapping up. Two things, one of which will be a little bit uncomfortable, the other one hopefully will give you some comfort. The uncomfortable one first, because that's probably better to get that out of the way. I know that in anything that we're going to do together, that I've been taught by God as I move closer to him, I know that I can't do any of that unless I pray about it, unless I spend time in the Word listening to God, because I've learned this. I don't want to pray that God would give me things to do in my life that I'm capable of. I want to pray that the things that he calls me to do, he makes me capable to do. I want to pray for power equal to the task that he called me to, not for tasks equal to the things I can do today. I want to be challenged. I want to be grown. I want to be pushed. I want to be moved into the direction to do the things that he called and created me for. And so some of that, most all of that is going to happen when you pray first. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray for some people in your life. Now that could be your neighbor, that could be your wife, that could be your friends, that could be anybody. But if you're going to live out the gospel, if you're going to teach people about Jesus, you have to do it with your life. That is much better than any message that any person can say. And so who are the people in your life that you need to show the gospel to? I want you to think about those people. And then what we're going to do here at the end of service is I'm going to actually ask you, we did this at Go Church, it's been a lot of fun, is that we're going to pray together, but not just kind of like I pray and then you kind of quietly to yourself. I'm going to pray first, and then I want you to get into groups of like two or three, five or six, whoever you're comfortable with. Maybe meet someone you don't know. I know the chairs are kind of where they are, but that's okay. So to kind of turn around and look at a group around you, and in that group, if you all want to pray, that's fine too. If it's just kind of one of you as a representative, that's okay too, but I want you to pray together. Right, because this is not so much something where you come to church and just kind of watch the guy on stage, but you get to have some action in this. And it is uncomfortable to share your faith. It is uncomfortable to do the things God called you to do. So maybe prayer is a good way to start. And even if that makes you uncomfortable, you're in a good place, right? So when I'm done praying, I want you to pray with each other. I'm going to give you like 5 minutes. I'm going to interrupt you guys at the end. It's going to be awesome, but you're going to look around the room like five people. Make little groups of five and pray together about the people in your life that you need a witness to. And so that's the challenge. That's kind of the tough thing for right now. But the encouragement is that Matthew ends the book the same way he starts it, with the promise of his presence. And he ends the verse, and my favorite part maybe, is that he will be with us always to the very end of the age. You do not go in alone when you do this. There is no avenue or place or moment or situation that he will send you that he will send you all by yourself. You have the promise of his presence with you always. There is no fear that should take hold in your heart because he's given you his presence. The Spirit of God dwells inside of you. And so I get overwhelmed by the stats and I get afraid of the conversations I need to have. But if there's anything for me that's made this adventure easier or made more sense for me, it's the more time I spend with Jesus, the better things get across the board. Right? And so, yeah, it's a lot to comprehend. It's a lot of what am I supposed to do and how am I supposed to do it? Unfortunately, I don't have the answer for you, but I know the guy that does. And if you're going to figure out what step it is that you need to take, the best way to do that is spend more time with him, period. Find out what that looks like for you. Spend more time with Jesus because he spends a lot of time with you. He came down to earth to show you the way, to give you a new life, and he is with you always to the very end of the age. So search your soul. Ask him, God, what is it that you're calling me to go do? For me, it was be a part of a church plant, and I am so glad I said yes to that because he made me capable. He made me worthy. He made me able. I was scared, but I said yes, and he's been there every step of the way. You're going to be scared. You're going to be nervous, but he's called you to go. And whatever capacity that is, you if he's king, you got to listen. If he's the authority in your life, then you've got to consider that maybe you should take some time and pray. God, what are you calling me to go do? Give me the strength to do it. And if you want clarity, if you want focus, I'm not the guy for all the details, but spend time with Jesus. He will give you what you need, and he will be with you always to the very end of the age and will never leave your side. And so I'm going to pray. And then again, I want you to get in groups and pray for those people in your life that you could be a witness to them, that you would go make disciples of all nations. That you would baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that you would teach them to obey everything that he's commanded of you, and he will be with you always to the very end of the age. Let me pray. I love you like crazy. I love this place and these people. Thank you, Father, for the hope that changed my life and set me free. Thank you that you got me to memorize this when I was in high school, and that it's changed my life for the better, that I am something now that I could not have been before. That I'm glad you swept me away. I love, too, that kind of in a place in life where people ask me how I'm doing, and my kind of favorite response these days is just trying to keep my feet on the ground. And it's, you know, yeah, I'm busy, and there's a lot of stuff that can distract me and kind of get me overwhelmed. But I say that because I'm just so grateful that I've been swept up by you, that I've enjoyed this adventure of life that you've called me to. God, I would not want to have it any other way. I pray for these people, God, that they would be swept up by your grace as well. that they would be overwhelmed by the adventure you set them on, that they would do their best to hold on tight and keep their feet on the ground because it's quite a ride, and that they would listen to you, they would obey what you call them to do, they would go into all the places that you've called us to and all the ways you created us to do it, and give us the words, give us the strength, give us the ways, help us to live this out with our actions every day. It would be the people of the gospel. We would be the messengers of the faith, that we would be the witnesses of the true King. God, thank you for all the things you've done, the things we know about, the things we don't. Father, I love you. I pray for my friend JD and my friend Ryan. I don't hang out enough with them, but I want them to see you. I want them to know who you are and be set free by your love. God, I just pray for the people in our lives that you put us with, that they're right there, and we've got to figure out what that looks like. So please fill us with the affirmation, with the strength, with the courage, with whatever it is that we need, that we would go, we would be in their life, God. Please give us that strength, Father. We love you so much, and we thank you for this day, God. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, so like I said, I'm going to bring you back, and we'll close in prayer. Or actually, we're going to close with an awesome song. So please kind of get into groups of like 5 people and spend some time praying about those people, and then I'll bring you back. So go ahead and circle up real quick, and then we will close with a song.